education issue. Sue, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy December.
You know, it's weird because 1 week ago today we were eating turkey, right?
Right, right.
And sleeping in and enjoying such wonderful things such as that. And then here we are a week later and we're in December. All right.
Right.
Let's go.
That's the way it works.
It is.
Time marches on.
Don't look. Yeah. You don't have time to look back. We got to look forward on that. And looking forward, obviously, front page of today's Herald Times. It says right here in front of me, revamp of I-STEP criticized. There's some words in that very short headline that we've talked about. We knew it was going to be revamped. We're not surprised there's criticism, are we?
Well,
I'm trying to hold my laughter back because I know the answer to that. It's yes. So everybody was going to criticize this.
I feel like it's Groundhog Day, the movie, all over again. We keep repeating the same thing. We keep saying we want something different, but we have something that's the same. And, it's frustrating. I think it leaves a whole lot of people, well, it leaves the whole state up in the air. We're really not sure what's going to happen with the grades that we already have. We're not sure what's going to happen with the test. I support the idea that the legislature has said, well, this is a starting point. And now we can do something really, really good, and I hope they do something really, really good. But in the 6 months they had, they didn't really do a whole lot, I'm afraid.
Sue, let's put this in perspective, because when we talk about revamp, we have a situation where we have a proposal. It's not really done yet that this is going to happen. And as a result of that proposal, there's talking about this is what it will be. And who knows what's going to come out of the legislature, but this is the crack committee that was put together to make recommendations. They issued their report, and these are the suggestions that they made, one of which is just absolutely insane. I mean, they're all crazy, but the one that just is insane is move the test date even farther into the academic year so that it will happen in May. In May. You know, and they talk about, the teachers are forced to teach to the test. And so already you're teaching to the test for the entire school year.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure I understand necessarily why they did that, but at least they did say they wanted to shorten the test.
Mm-hmm.
If they can indeed get grades out quicker, as the committee recommended, I think it said within a month, which I find surprising, but I think it can be done. It must be done.
Do you find that surprising because it hasn't happened in the past? Or
right.
I find it surprising because if it can be done, how come it hasn't been done?
Well, maybe you didn't have the right testing people.
Well, but they're sticking with the same people. They're sticking with Pearson.
Well, and I think you hold their feet to the fire, right, Sue? And
you're right. And I think that's got to be part of a contract with a vendor. You specify what it is that you want and when you want the results. And I would hope that our teachers, I mean, there's one way that you can look at it as, okay, it's in May, so it's really kind of like an end-of-course assessment.
Sure.
Which might be better. But I really, I hate that our teachers, and this happens to everybody around the state, feels like they have to prepare people to take this test. And I would rather that our teachers are teaching and our kids are learning, and then we take the test and we see what happens. But because it's such a high-stakes test,
well, then when's the optimum time to take it? I mean, is there ever a great time to take it?
No, and I don't necessarily disagree that May is a bad time, but if we spend a whole semester just preparing for this test...
But you don't want to do it right after the holidays, though, do you?
No, you don't.
Or right before spring break, or right before fall break, or right before Labor Day, or right before Christmas, or right... There's not a lot of time in the school calendar where it naturally says, oh, here's a good spot to do it.
Right, and I wouldn't disagree so much with May, because really you are testing what people have learned all year long. It's because it's a high-stakes test, and it's the pressure that teachers feel to make sure kids do well on it, and it's the pressure that kids and their families feel. And I guess we have to change the perception of the test or the high stakes that go along with it. Let's not use it to evaluate teachers and award raises. Let's not use it to grade schools. Let's use it just as one tool, as some feedback, one piece of feedback to let us know student achievement.
And I agree with that. But if it's going to be part of it, the best way to – who determines the best way to administer it? Do you have it once a quarter where you take part of it and you do this and this and that? I don't think you'll ever get rid of the testing stress or what it does to families. Tests.
Part of the recommendation is that it be one thing, not drug out over several tests.
And I think that makes it easier. And Glass, one of the things that bothers me about this, and we've talked about this before – is our teachers have many, many different ways to assess student achievement. We don't necessarily need a statewide test to do it, and it comes without a whole lot of the stress or the penalties. That everybody feels a penalty attached to ISTEP. So let's look at some different ways. Let's just use that information to help teachers and kids, and let's not grade teachers and grade schools. It would be my position on that.
Sue, let me throw a couple of other things into the mix that came out of the report. Number one, the report that was issued by this crack committee made no mention of the iRead tests, which determine in the third grade whether or not you can be promoted to the next grade. That's one point. The next point is that the updated assessment that they're going to be working toward will not occur until 2018. And what that means is that a child that's taking these tests will have taken three different assessment tests in 3 years. How do you compare the results of those things when it's changed every year? So, you know, that's just part of it.
Right. And that really is a good point if we're going to, compare from 1 year to the next But that's, you know, it's been used to measure a cohort of students. It's been used to measure a grade of students. It's been used to measure a school of students. It's been used to judge how schools are doing, and instead we need a test that helps us assess how students are doing. And like I've said over and over, our teachers do that every day. So you're right, Keith. It's hard to make comparisons when it's a different instrument each time.
Another thing that came out of all of this is that the federal government has given states the ability in designing assessment systems that the states think make sense. Indiana's not taking advantage of that.
Well, right. Well.
So. There you are. Yeah, and you've said a number of times with both Ball State and Indiana University and the experts in education that are there, why not turn to some of those experts?
Let me focus on how that affects us here in Monroe County. How is the teacher's contract with MCCSC related to test scores?
Part of the evaluation for teachers is tied to the ISTEP test score.
Okay.
And then the evaluation of teachers, depending on their evaluation, determines whether or not they can receive a raise.
So it is a factor. It is
yes.
A tangible factor that is written into. Let's say the next contract you put together, and I'm speaking completely hypothetically. This is all being recorded, so if anybody mishears it, they can go back and listen to it. Why not, again, affecting local education at a local level, you say, hey, look, these last 3 years, we've had three different tests. What does it tell? Get that out of the contract. Does that help? Does it hurt? Can you do that, or are you forced to put
that
in?
No, the state is saying you have to do
that. The state says you have to do it.
You are evaluating your teachers based on these test results.
So that's why this is very important,
exactly.
Because you have to listen to the state. No matter what your curriculum is, no matter what your school day is, you still have to answer to somebody in all this, which brings up the point that's also interesting. People talk about charter schools, vouchers, and all this other stuff that goes on. Those folks don't have to answer to the state, or do answer to the state, but just how does that work differently? Is that what the appeal is, because maybe they don't play by the same rules?
Part of what you're saying is right. There's not the same rules across the board depending on the voucher, charter, those kinds of things.
And the whole issue is that there's a lot of money to be made from education, and people have seen this, and there's a lot of companies out there that are building charter schools that are funded with public money, so that's one of the big draws there. It's a way to weaken public education and remove money from the public schools.
Sue, that's a great transition. So let's do that transition now.
Okay.
We have the president-elect has announced the cabinet appointment of the Secretary of Education is a woman who is a strong proponent of voucher education and has never attended a public school in her life. You know, what's
and
that say? And then we have a vice president-elect who also encourages charter. The president-elect has said charter. So, you know, where are we headed?
Betsy DeVos is the
Secretary of Education.
Secretary of Education that you are mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it's not just charters; it's vouchers,
right.
And these educational savings accounts where people can take the money and buy tuition wherever they want to buy tuition. But the state of Michigan has also said that what she has helped fund with charter schools and voucher programs, especially the charter schools, have not been successful. So what she has done to education, I hope that hasn't been successful in one state. I hope she won't want to do nationwide. And President-elect Trump also said when he was campaigning that he wanted to get rid of the Department of Education because education belongs with the state.
You mean that drain the swamp line?
Yeah, as stated in state constitutions, we're responsible for it. But apparently he's not doing that. And he's going in a totally different direction because this could really remove all the local control he was talking about he wanted in states.
What kind of power does the Secretary of Education have?
Pretty good. Yeah, it sets
policy. And Glass, that's a really good point. And a lot of people don't want to get rid of the Department of Education because we get a lot of federal money through the Department of Education. But if we didn't have a Department of Education, that money could also be funneled through maybe Health and Human Services or another department, and we could still have that federal money. But because there is that federal money, there's then that federal oversight as to what we're doing.
Yeah, once you get your money from them, they get to have a say.
Bingo.
Right, exactly.
Well, and also the Department of Education has a tremendous influence over legislation that comes through Congress to affect the schools. So there you are.
Which again, I think is... I don't know that I can say that it's unconstitutional, but the federal government really has no legal role in education, according to the U.S. Constitution and the individual states' constitutions. So maybe we'll just have a really good discussion. I think that's what we need. That's what's missing. Nobody's really had a discussion statewide, nationally, about what public education should be, and all we keep hearing is that public education is failing, and we know that a lot of places it isn't failing.
Well,
it
depends on how you measure it. Of course, you can have statistics
right.
Show you a lot of things of why things aren't in the definition of fail.
Well, and Sue, the other thing is that when you hear this discussion, the word you keep using is left out of the equation, and that is public education.
Right.
They talk education.
And we know that schools, we know that students who come out of poverty and more socioeconomic status, a lower socioeconomic status, those schools don't do as well because the kids and then the schools don't have the resources that other schools have. So the more we drain out of public education and we put it into private schools where people can pick whatever students they want, they don't have to pick the poor kids. They don't have to pick kids who have specific challenges. Then what we're left with is a public school system with students that have more difficulties and fewer money to help teach them.
So we go forward, and the I-STEP stuff,
mm-hmm.
What's the next step in that?
Now it'll be to see what the legislature does
with
this
report.
Okay,
so we've gone through the commission.
Right.
We've got the report. We send that to the legislature.
And we have a new superintendent of public
instruction,
too.
Well, that's where
I was
going with that, and, right. and then that's going to be molded.
Where does she take us?
Exactly. So we just put our seatbelts on, Sue, and get ready to go, huh?
Well, and the one thing that we can do, that we know we can do, that we have certain abilities here in Monroe County, and we have a wonderful school corporation, and we keep improving it, and we're offering different kinds of opportunities to students, and that's the one thing we can do moving forward.
One other thing, Sue, talk to your local legislator. Let them know where you are on these issues.
Well, exactly, and that's really important because we can only do so much. We know there's some parameters from the state, but looking on the positive side, we've got a great community for education, and we'll do here whatever we think we need to do to help our students get every opportunity they can, and we have a great administration and great faculty so that we can keep doing that, and we'll just keep doing what we need to do to educate students.
And that's all you can do. And again,
right.
Work hard every day, block and tackle, do your fundamentals, and hopefully those things will sort itself out. We will keep an eye on the story, obviously, because it affects us moving forward, and we'll get caught up next Thursday. How does that sound?
Glass, I want to mention the foundation real quickly in the reading, writing, and bidding. If people go online...
Oh, it's the auction deal, right?
Yeah, to the foundation website, which is linked on the MCCSC website, they can log into reading, writing, and bidding. And it's kind of like eBay. It allows you to make a bid on a whole bunch of different items.
Yeah, you've been doing this for a few years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have. And this is the third year that I've been outbid on everything I've bid on. So
well,
I got to get better at this.
Just start higher. And then if someone outbids you, then it's good for the greater good, right?
Well, see, that's what I thought. I bid on a whole lot of stuff, so at least I, you know, I jacked up the bids.
You're driving up the market. I like it. Good stuff.
Are you? So I hope people will do that. There's a lot of things. When I was bidding, I was thinking about different holiday gifts and things that I could give to people. There's some great restaurant things on there. And
oh, sure.
Different kinds of packages. So
there's vacation packages. There's plenty of stuff on there for all kinds of budgets.
Exactly.
Even morning radio host budgets.
Of course. Well, you do this for free, don't you?
Well, it's kind of like, what's the definition of fail? You can
keep repeating the same thing.
Well, yeah. We always have fun with it. That's what makes it fun.
Exactly. So,
all right. What's the website again?
That.
The website is off the mccsc.edu page. It's right there on the front. Can't miss it.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Yep. I'm going to put that on our Facebook page so people can see that at WGCL Radio, and that's a great way to get connected. And, again, you give back to the community and you get something for yourself. I can't see the downside to any of that.
Okie dokie. Thanks, Glass, for doing that.
Good job as always, Sue. We appreciate your time. We'll talk
to you
next week. Hopefully it won't be in January next week, right? We're just one month at a time.
No.
Oof, let's get to Christmas first, right? All right.
I know, exactly.
Good stuff, Sue. Thank you. Sue Wanzer.
Have a great day.
Keith Klein. Every Thursday morning talking local education issues and how it affects stuff that's happening in our community, Keith. And, again, there's not a timetable on this.
No.
Isn't that one of the problems, too? Has someone come out and said, hey, look, if this is as important as everybody makes it, we need to have this done by this time.
Well, theoretically, that's what the report was going to do. Hey, let's have this, and we'll have it done, and we'll go, bingo.
Call you later.
See where we are.
Call you when. Mm-hmm. Call you later. Call me maybe. Yeah.